afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, September 21st, 2017. Can we make it Friday, Al?
If you want, Melody, it's okay with me. I don't care what day you make it, as long as tomorrow is Saturday.
Okay.
Tomorrow is Saturday, and we have a day off. I'm for it. Tuesday, you can make it Tuesday today, but Saturday tomorrow.
Well, you know, I would prefer Saturday, but I'm just trying to get one day. This day past us is what I'm just trying to do. Actually, this week, I'm trying to get this week past us, but pressure again on gold, down 10.30. None of this makes any sense, so I'm not even going to try to rationalize why gold is down $10 today. $12.91. I still think we're going to have higher prices by the end of the year, which is seven days. So we'll see, a little over 7 days. Gold down 10.30.
7 days to the end of the year. You mean
the
by
end of
the end of the month.
Okay. A little more than, yeah. See, I'm really pushing it now. Forget Saturday. I'm trying. Forget Saturday. I want this year.
Gonna wipe out a couple
me.
Of months here,
couple
Melody.
Months.
I mean, 7 days. It means I've missed Thanksgiving and Christmas and maybe even Halloween. Good.
I don't mind missing Christmas, but don't make me miss my Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is one of the holidays I look forward to.
So anyway, back to gold, down 10.30 today at 12.91. Silver's down 21 at 17.02. Platinum was down 7 at 9.40, and palladium was down 4 at 915. The dollar was down also today, 0.28 at 92.22. Crude oil was up a couple cents at 50.71. And again, you know, I do talk about, you know, whenever there's big meetings, whenever there's, I say this time and time again, big meetings, Davos, Bilderbergers, G20s, Fed meetings, and so forth, you have pressure on gold, but you couldn't get any bigger meetings than the UN and the Fed speaking at the same time. So, yes, I do expect gold and silver to turn around. It should turn around tomorrow if we have gold down 20.28 today, the dollar down 0.28 today, we should see gold higher. I'm getting
Gold is up even now. It's up 12% for the year.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I think this is, you know, we're coming to the end of the month. They're weighing in on Obamacare, repeal and replace. That's just so disgusting anymore. It's just, I just wish they'd shut up about it, because the thing of it is, the only reason it's back in the news, the only reason that they're considering it is all political, to make elections. You know, they're trying to save their butts. And everybody thinks it's a great plan. Really? What did you change? And was anything changed from the last time? And it's just nuts. Just nuts. But by September 30th, they only need 50 votes. After September 30th, it goes back to 60 votes. So this is why the big push on Obamacare. They're going to see if they can't get it done with 50 votes. And that alone tells you, you know what? They're just disgusting. Literally, they are just disgusting. And if you want to do anything, just repeal the stupid thing. And
They can't do that.
But they can't do that. They won't.
Program.
They can, but they won't. Can, but they won't. And so now they're trying to, you know, fix it, but they're only making it worse from what it is now. So, I mean, they're not even addressing the issues of cost. That's what's really funny. They're doing all these little changes, pulling money out of it from Medicaid and stuff. That means prices will only go higher. So it's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The Dow was down 53 points today at 22,353. The NASDAQ was down 33 at 6,422. The S&P was down 7 at 2,500. 10-year yield 2.28%. Euro 1.19. That was up 0.37. That reacted to the drop in the dollar today, but gold didn't. So we'll probably find out a little bit more after all the trades are completed if, you know, we don't see any special monkey business going on with gold today. All of a sudden you had some huge seller of gold, and it just irritates me. But owning gold and silver doesn't irritate me. It's just seeing the
manipulation.
The manipulation, and, you know, I mean, these guys are just, well, anyway, I can't say those
They're
words.
They're just not very nice, are they?
I can't say those words that I'm thinking. They're not very ladylike. They're not very ladylike, and they're certainly not for radio.
They're not politically correct.
Huh? They're not, well, you know, maybe in today's world they would be politically correct. But it's funny, Toys R Us just announced they're filing for bankruptcy, and, you know, they had to borrow money so, you know, they could buy their holiday toys and so forth. And, hey, they're hiring. I mean, it's just, you know, let's go to work for a company that just filed bankruptcy this week. Yeah. I mean, it's just a bizarre world that we live in now.
Yeah, but only for another couple decades. You know, in my case, Melody. I only expect to be here for another 20 or 30 years.
Well,
so
world,
it's not so bad. I've lived enough years where I know that 20 or 30, not really that many. It seems like a lot when you're younger. You get older, it's not that big a deal.
The world's richest woman died.
Yep.
She was 94. And she was the heiress of L'Oreal. She was the daughter of the company's founder, 94 years old. Both Forbes and the Bloomberg Billionaire Index. I mean, there's so many billionaires, they now have to have an index. I mean, that alone should tell you we're screwed. But anyway, the world's richest woman, her net worth was estimated at about $44 billion. And she worked until she was 89.
Well, that'll do. I mean, that, you know, people look forward to retiring, but truth of the matter is a lot of people can't really stand to retire. A lot of people are worn out. They have to retire. Some people are. But the truth of the matter is, for a lot of people, work helps you to stay alive. Mm-hmm. Gives you meaning, it gives you purpose, it gives you something to do, something to think about. It causes you to get up off your butt and not just watch TV or whatever. And you are still relevant. You know, I had a friend named Robert Fox. He passed away up in Canada. He was down here in the United States. He lived down here for, I don't know, 20 years or something. But he was Canadian by birth, and he was involved in legal reform and the rest of it. And he got crosswise with the government. The government deported him back to Canada. He got stuck in his little cabin up there. And I think he passed away just recently. He'd had some health problems. But I think part of it was he was not relevant in the same way he had been for the last 20, 30 years here in the States. He was involved in legal reform issues, and he was a political activist, and he did things, and he accomplished things. And you need that sense of relevance. You need something that in your own mind, at least, you know, convinces you that you're still making some sort of a positive contribution. I don't think he made it. I don't think he had that feeling up there in Canada, and I think it probably contributed to his demise. Don't know it to be true, but I'm sure it's true in some instances. You got to stay relevant, all right? Got something to do, got something to offer. Even if it's all in your own mind, you got to have that. Got to have that belief. I can't imagine living in a world where I didn't feel relevant. I didn't think I had something to offer. It might be a mistake, you know, an act of ego more than anything else, but just the same, you need that. When you don't have it, that strikes me, that would be a very difficult thing to deal with. Melody?
Are you still there? Yes, I'm here. There are certain days, and, you know, where you do get tired and you do think about retirement. I do, but you're right. And I have an obligation to my clients. And so I'm here for the long haul to help my customers. And, you know, I'll be here when I'm 95. How about that?
Well, when you're 95, that'd make me probably about 105.
Well, then Maybe
but I don't expect to be here when I'm 105.
You don't?
Mm. No. No, I think I will have moved on to greener, more cloud-like, or perhaps hotter pastures. Will you know, that determination is not in yet. We don't know for sure. But a different pasture, in any case. Mm.
Well, you know, people buy gold and silver ETFs. They get talked into their financial planners to, you know, oh, you don't have to worry about storing it. You don't have to worry about protecting it. You know, you can, you know, get into these ETFs, you know, and they're just paper. And Jimmy Rogers, everybody pretty much knows who Jimmy Rogers is. He's been a long-time favorer of gold. He's a billionaire, and, you know, he was once Soros' partner, and I saw he made a comment one time. He says, well, Soros just needed somebody younger to do all the go for this, go for that. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what he says. But he made a comment about the ETF holders. He says they're going to get mauled by the worst bear market ever. So don't think just because you're not in the, it's all paper that's going to get mauled.
Yeah.
And he talks about the ETF. So piling into ETFs, will be extremely vulnerable to the next big mauling. And when we have the bear market, a lot of people are going to find that, oh my gosh, I own an ETF, and they collapsed. It went down more than anything else. And the reason it will go down more than anything else is because that's what everybody owns. So again, folks, you know,
it's not just what everybody owns.
Well, this
it's
is what
part
Roger...
of what has been sold to people, and they say, "Oh, I can take a piece of paper, and it's something like a payment." They regard paper as a payment, and in fact, it's nothing but an IOU. It's a promise to pay stocks, bonds, banking accounts, all of the rest of it, pension funds, all this stuff. Are nothing. You got a piece of paper. You have a promise to pay. That's all you have. And it's at a time when there's so many promises out there, and that's what debt is. Debt is a promise to pay. You got a piece of paper, it's a debt instrument. And there are so many debts out there, they can't all be kept. In my estimation, I think 80-90% of them are going to be wiped out. And nobody knows which ones it's going to be, and you may be lucky and the paper you have might survive, but the odds are against it, in my opinion. You know, paper is going to get wiped out, and people are going to say, what do we have for money anymore? And somebody says, you don't think we could use gold or silver? How about that, Melody? Could we use that as money?
Maybe.
They did it for only 3,000-5,000 years. Maybe we could do it again. And it will inevitably come back, and that's the one thing about it. There are other tangible things you can have, but if you only have a piece of paper, you only have a promise to pay at a time when there's so many promises out there. I mean, that's what the $20 trillion national debt is. It's all just promises to pay. Can't be kept. Can't be kept. Your share, my share, everybody's fair share, including little baby boy just born this morning, his fair share of the national debt, if it's only $20 trillion, is about 65 grand. Everyone, every individual's fair share of the national debt, how's that going to be paid? And the answer is it's not. They may pay some of it, but most of it's not going to be paid because it can't be paid, and that means everybody who's holding U.S. bonds are going to lose their assets. They're holding pieces of paper that can't be paid. And so we tell you this on a regular basis. This isn't news on this program, but we tell you, look, take a payment, not a promise to pay. Take a payment. What's a payment? Something tangible. Gold and silver, for example. Get paid. Don't get promised. Get paid, because promises can't be kept.
And when Al talks about all that debt and so that he talks about that you can't get paid, and it is your stocks, it's your ETFs, don't think of it as something, well, I don't own any debt, I own ETFs. No.
They're debt instruments. Piece of paper,
they
it's
are,
digital, it's debt, it's promise to pay.
But so
payment is tangible. Promise is paper.
So your bonds and, you know, so one of your stocks, hey, your stocks might be up 30% in the past couple of years. That's what's at risk. That is what we're talking about. That is what's going to get down, and that's what is going to drop like a rock. And that's what Jimmy Rogers was referencing. Mm-hmm. It's going to go down, and it's because everybody owns it. Everybody has it. That's going to go down the first and the fastest and the deepest.
No, it's like the LBMA. It's like comics.
There isn't anything that's protected.
Some estimates, there's something like 600 paper ounces of gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold that's in the vault. They are selling 600 pieces of paper and say, oh, this is worth it. See, here's your little piece of paper, and this entitles you to an ounce of gold. And we've even got an ounce back there, only we've sold 600 of these pieces of paper for the same ounce. What does that mean? The day is coming. It is going to happen. Nobody knows when, but somebody's going to say, excuse me, could I have my ounce of gold? And they're going to say, and then somebody else is going to say, well, I'd like mine too. And somebody else, and they're going to say, oops, we don't have 600 ounces of gold. All we can give you is paper, more paper. We can't keep our promises, and that's fraud. Right? They know this, but our system is designed on the fraud. It tolerates the fraud. The government tolerates the fraud. They may need the fraud, but they certainly go along with it. And it's the classic, perhaps the classic example. They're selling multiple. They're selling the same ounce of gold several hundred times. I mean, it's fraud. And the system is based on this. We're looking at the price of gold goes down today because something happened. It's not the price of gold, incidentally. The price of gold right now is a little below $1,300 an ounce. But that's not the price of gold. That's the price of paper gold. That's the price of the promise to pay. All right? That's what we're measuring here. We don't really have a good gold market right now that I'm aware of. There may be one that's coming, but at the moment, there is not a reliable market. There's not a well-known market for physical gold. But there's going to be one of these days when they say, well, what do you think it is? It's not comics. They're measuring the price of paper gold. When they say it's it's $1,300 an ounce. It's $1,300 an ounce for one of those pieces of paper that says, here's a paper ounce of gold. A promise to pay. There's 600 of them for every real ounce.
I get that.
Yeah, no. Promise can't be kept. Sooner or later, this is going to break through, and when it does, there's going to be a spectacular price increase for gold and silver and other tangible metals. When's it going to happen? Don't know. Nobody can say for sure, but no one can look at it and say that it's not getting closer and closer and closer. We're going to take a break, a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I'm Alfred Nettz here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Here's a report from the Texas Tribune. And the headline is, Trump's judicial nominee from Texas called transgender kids part of Satan's plan. All right. Jeff Mater, a high-ranking official in the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office when President Donald Trump was nominated for a federal judgeship, said in speeches in 2015 that transgender children are part of Satan's plan and encouraged same-sex marriages and argued that same-sex marriages would open the floodgates for disgusting forms of marriage. In Colorado, public school has been sued because a first grader, and I forget the sex, this material is being quoted here, he says because a first grader, and I forget the sex, she's a girl who thinks she's a boy, or she's a boy who thinks she's a girl, it's probably that, a boy who thinks she's a girl, material said in the May 2015 speech, referencing the Colorado lawsuit that involved transgender girls' parents suing the school for prohibiting her from using the restroom she preferred. I mean, it just really shows you how Satan's plan is working and how the destruction and the destruction that's going on. Well, he went on, he said, what are these same-sex marriages? We're taking the United States back to a time of debauchery. He says, I mean, it's disgusting. There are people who want to marry who marry themselves. When somebody wanted to marry a tree, people are marrying their pets. It's just like, you know, it's you read the New Testament and you read about all the things and you think, oh, that's not going on in our community. And he says, oh, yes, it is. We're going back to a time when debauchery rules. Well, last week, Trump nominated Mater as district judge for the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas. Now, the reason I bring this to people's attention is it gives us a clue, I think, to Trump's mentality. Trump doesn't impress me as a dedicated Christian. All right? If he is, he keeps his religion private and to himself pretty much. I don't know where he fits in on the equation. But if he's willing to put somebody on the bench who has referred to transgender kids as part of Satan's plan, it gives us a little bit of a clue. It's one leaf in the breeze to say this may be part of Trump's mentality. So, is that good, Melody, or is it bad?
Well, if Trump knows of his views, you know, so I don't, you know, again, did he nominate this person because of those reasons, or does he even know about those reasons? But it would be a good person to have as a district judge. So he seems to be a judge himself might be more of a conservative.
Sounds conservative and just
religious.
Sounds like, you know.
And has faith.
Got a religious bent. Right?
And has a faith, you know, yes. So that it is good. The nominee is good. I'm not sure. I don't know what Trump's reasons are for nominating him, though.
I agree. At least he didn't use it as a reason to not nominate the guy.
Yes.
He didn't dissuade him from nominating the guy. And I have to assume Trump probably is aware. I would assume they vet everybody that they nominate, make sure they're not child molesters or something like that. And
that doesn't mean he vets them. It doesn't mean that he vets them. I'm sure he is.
Regardless, somebody should have come up with it and said, oh, my gosh, this guy's a hot potato. He's called transgender children part of Satan's plan. Nobody warned him. I mean, the left is going to go nuts over this, probably. I don't know if they'll go nuts, but we'll certainly get a reaction out of it. Oh, my gosh. This is just awful. We'll see.
Well, you know.
But it's part of the battle that
even,
goes on.
I don't even think the Democrats can remember back to 2015.
They don't need
2 years
to
ago, Al. Almost three.
Don't need to remember. Don't need to remember that stuff. And you're using fake news, Melody. Why do you need to remember history? Just make it up as you go along. And for what it's worth, we talk about fake news from time to time on this program, and certainly other programs have talked about this a great deal. And what is fake news? It's propaganda. It's little stories that people are concocting in order to get you to think a particular way. It is not news where they say, here are facts, here is evidence, here is an argument. They're just saying, this is the truth, oh my God. And it's not true. It's fake. And it's not just a mistake. And much of it is not just lies designed to look at me, look at me, look at me. Much of it is propaganda. There are people in positions of power that are trying to make you think in a particular way. Not because it's good for you and not because you choose to think that way. But they are trying to condition you with repetitive news stories that convey particular ideas, particular slants. They're trying to condition you to a point where you don't think about it. You just, oh my gosh. You know, you get that knee-jerk reaction, and that's what they're doing something Pavlovian. All right? Everybody knows about the Russian psychiatrist Pavlov with his dogs, and he trained them to salivate when the light went on. First, he started feeding the dog. Every time the light went on, the dogs got fed. All right? Turn the light on again, they get another doggy treat. Turn the light on again, they get another doggy treat. Pretty soon, the dogs are conditioned where as soon as the light goes on, they start to salivate, even though the doggy treat didn't show up. That's what government is trying to do to us with false government, mainstream media, whoever. Take your pick, whichever villain you're talking about. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you salivate when they just flip on a light switch and they don't even have to give you a doggy treat. They are treating us with the fake news. They are treating us as animals. They are subjecting us to propaganda designed to elicit a conditioned reaction. And it's working for a lot of people. You know, and we all have to be careful of it. You know, I see articles that make me madder than heck. You know, and I kind of know going, oh, this is going to make me madder than heck. You have to be careful about that. You know, got to try. We each of us have an obligation. It's fun to be self-righteously angry, you know, but it's not necessarily a good thing, and not many of us are all that self-righteous, and that certainly includes me. Got to be careful that you don't succumb to the temptations, because the propaganda is coming from both sides. It's coming primarily, in my opinion, from one side, but there are who's innocent on this, you know? So in any case, you got to hear it, consider it, make up your own mind. Right? And if they try to bamboozle you into believing things that aren't true, then you have to back away. We've got an article here from Cointelegraph, which deals with cryptocurrencies. And the headline is People's Bank of China Think Tank: Cryptocurrencies Are Realistic Threat. You may have heard that China is closing down access to cryptocurrencies. And that's what this article is about. In what seems like a never-ending stream of bad news for cryptocurrencies coming out of China, a new statement condemned cryptocurrencies, within the Chinese financial system, and it's been issued by a leading People's Bank of China think tank. With initial coin offerings being banned, right, that was for cryptocurrencies, crypto exchanges being shut down, and rumors of putting up the Great Firewall against foreign exchanges, this is all happening in China. Markets have been getting hit with their fair share of negative news coming out of China. However, after dropping almost 30% from all-time high last week, it seems as if the crypto markets have begun to accept negative crypto stories come from China as the norm. And the man named Zhao Ziyang, an associate research fellow at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, the Institute of Finance, said supervision authorities must take stringent measures to limit and ensure that the real monetary and financial system remains stable. Now, this is really interesting because he's saying the real financial and monetary system, they got to protect them, which means which system is that? That's the one run by the government and maybe even the New World Order, but we've got to protect that, you know. And he's recognizing that cryptocurrencies pose a threat to the established monetary system. And this think tank researcher, he goes on to claim that cryptocurrencies pose realistic threats to financial stability and that they must be terminated, with the only solution being to replace private cryptocurrencies with fiat cryptocurrencies issued by the People's Bank of China. So they're not necessarily going to eliminate the technology, but they do want to eliminate the private element of cryptocurrencies, and that's one of their most attractive features. They are decentralized. There is nobody in control, right? Which allows for a lot of stupidity on one level. We have the equivalent of the tulip mania that afflicted Holland back in 1600s, maybe 1300s, I don't remember which, but back in the nearer to the Middle Ages. You can do some crazy things, but the government doesn't control this. And the real lesson here is that China thinks that the government's financial mechanism is vulnerable to these cryptocurrencies. Right? China is convinced they threaten. Now, we can say what we want about cryptocurrencies, and we're critical of them on this show. They have nothing to back them up. They are nothing but promises to pay, and somebody else is going to make the payment. The whole thing is dangerous. It's fantastic. It's unlikely to last forever. But on the other hand, they do threaten the established money system. Now, here's another headline coming from Cointelegraph also, and it says market reaction to China news shows Bitcoin too big to kill. After a double blow from China and its ban on the initial coin offerings, then news of total exchange bans, not to mention Jamie Dimon's vitriol against Bitcoin, the digital currency briefly crashed to $3,000 before rapidly soaring back and holding the $4,000 mark. Digital currency users are finding a way around the Chinese bans. Other countries like Japan and Hong Kong are profiting. Here's my point in all of this. We're going to see something happen coming out of China over the next weeks, maybe a couple of months. Either they are going to succeed in effectively banning cryptocurrencies from China, or they're going to fail. And if China can't get rid of cryptocurrencies, if they can't do it, it's going to be evidence that this is a phenomena that may die under its own weight, but it's not going to be killed by government. If China can't knock out Bitcoin and the rest of the cryptocurrencies, if they can't stop it from working in China, then it probably can't be stopped anywhere. It is perhaps an idea whose time has come, but again, it's tulip mania. Right, it's a tulip mania whose time has come, perhaps. Blockchain will last forever. Cryptocurrencies, probably not. There's going to be a problem here, at least a readjustment. But we're going to see a battle take place in China over the next weeks or months to see if China can really, can they stamp out cryptocurrencies from China, or are they incapable of doing so? This is going to be an interesting thing to watch. And this fits in with another phenomena, another war that was much in the news just, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, 2 months. It was a war on cash. Anybody heard about the war on cash lately? We had, India was going to get rid of cash, and they're threatening to get rid of cash in one country or another and remove cash. And everybody's, oh, there's a war on cash, and it'll all be stomped out. What happened to it? It just kind of disappeared. We haven't heard about it for the last month or 6 weeks. The big war on cash is bye-bye. Why? I think it's because people in positions of power have recognized that Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, pose a serious threat to the global financial system. And I think what they're doing is saying, we're not going to worry about cash right now. Forget cash. We're not going to talk about cash. We're going to go after crypto coins, cryptocurrencies. Now, that's only speculation on my part, but I think it makes a certain amount of sense, especially if you've noticed what I've seen, what I've sensed, is that nobody's talking about getting rid of cash anymore. It's not the war they want to fight right now. They may get back to it, but first things first, and the first thing they're going to try to do is stomp out cryptocurrencies. And I don't know, this is going to be an extraordinary contest, and it's likely to drag on for, you know, who knows how long this is going to last, how long this battle will be waged. But there is a battle over the nature of currency in the world, and more than anything, who's going to control that currency. That battle is being waged right now. It involves cryptocurrencies. It involves China. It involves a number of governments. It involves, to some degree, cash. Cash is on the back burner right now, though. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but it's evidence that the existing monetary system is in danger. They recognize that somebody came up with an idea and they call it cryptocurrencies, and oh my gosh. I mean, the heart of the New World Order, the foundation for the New World Order, is fiat currency. If they can't have fiat currency and control it in the same sense that Baron Rothschild said, I don't care who controls it, I don't care. He says, give me control of the monetary system, of the money, and I don't care who makes the laws. And he's probably right. The New World Order and fiat government gives control of the money to people in positions of power, and it takes it away from ordinary people. The gold and silver, that's money that's made by the people. We'll watch and see, but there's a war taking place, and we will all be dragged into it before this is done. And my opinion is, if you want to protect yourself, you're going to need some gold and silver. We're going to take another break. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Tell me again. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I think the importance of cryptocurrencies is it is a story that's constantly changing, and it's a story that we know somehow, some way, it's going to have an impact. If you view how our monetary systems here and abroad and around the world globally are all based on fiat currencies, and we know that that system fails. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the next step for the New World Order? Because that's who's controlling it. So what is their next step? You know, the system is going to collapse. They're going to have to usher in a new monetary system, I think, which will be tried to be done globally. Whether it'll be cryptocurrencies, whether it'll be controlled by the governments and so forth. I mean, there is a war going on. The currency war has been going on for a very long time, even with trades with the fiat currencies. You know, countries want lower currencies, dollar values, so they can help their trade. We want a weaker currency, so it helps our trade. So it's been battling for a long time. But to me, regardless of what all the stories are and how you view it, it tells me we're closer. We're coming very close to have this disruption and something new ushered in, new laws, new rules, however it might be, however it might end. And they have to reset these currencies to do anything, to usher in a new system. So whether we get a global system where we get a new system here, that kind of remains to be seen. I guess it depends on who's sitting in the White House, maybe. I don't know. But my point is we're getting closer and closer. And
we're getting closer to a currency collapse.
Getting close to a system collapse.
I know. And what's going to replace it is up for grabs, and there may be a couple of contenders. But in the end, I don't think anything can stand up as well as gold and silver has in the past. I don't think they're going to be able to come up with a new and improved fiat currency that'll be pink instead of green, and everybody's, oh, this time it'll be different, because, see, it's pink. It's not green. It's pink backs instead of green backs. Now it'll work. I don't think they're going to be able to sell that to the public. I think they have to come up with a new currency that is, to greater or lesser extent, backed by gold or silver.
I think global, personally, I've said for years and years and years, global trade, yes, it will have a gold-backed currency. I'm not so sure what will be traded domestically. The Weimar Republic, they introduced, two or three currencies before one took, and it is all a matter of confidence. And if you're out there and your family's going hungry, you know, you just might accept something that you wouldn't normally approve of. So governments, the elite, they know people's behavior. They know human nature. They know how to manipulate. They've been doing it for, you know, for a long time.
People are catching on to that also.
Yeah, but they're not hungry, Al.
Well, I get that.
People hungry are a whole different ballgame. Look at Venezuela. And yeah, you can say look at Venezuela, but I'll guarantee you if the government came and gave them a program that would make their life a little easier, they'd accept it.
But here's the thing. Can they give them a program where they promise to make their lives easier, or can they give them a program that actually makes their lives easier? And this is the difference between a promise and a payment. Can they deliver the goods? And if they can't, they're not going to impress the people.
If they can
no amount of promises can carry this.
If they can improve,
what are we going to do?
If they can improve their lives even temporarily, people will accept it.
Yeah, well, they might, but they will temporarily accept it. I'm still. You have to get back to reality.
I agree.
Later,
I mean, I'm
which
not.
Which means
I'm
you got to put food on the table. You can't just promise, boy, are we going to have a great Thanksgiving in another month? No, I need the food now.
Well,
where is the turkey? Bring the turkey out now. And if they can't do that, they're not going to have people follow them.
And you also have to look at the younger generations and who are willing to accept. You got baby boomers who are retiring, their pension plans, they lose all that, and the government comes in and says, hey. Programs have already been introduced. We'll take care of you. You know, we'll make sure that you never lose your money again. You won't ever have to worry about not having the money, you know, until you die. We might help you die a little sooner than you normally would, but that's a technical problem. Yeah, we'll worry about that later. And I mean, I'd like to think that people would stand up and say, no, enough's enough, and there's enough in Washington and the president and so forth to keep us from going down that path once again. But, you know, and to me, that's why gold is so important, because it keeps you out of their system. You know, it allows you to be independent. It allows you to be private. It keeps them out of your business. That's what's that's part of the importance of owning gold and silver. But
you know, I've been talking about the problem with the debt, and I've said this a number of times, and just the answer that posed a question and I did a number of times on the radio program, half a dozen or 10 times, I don't know how many times, but a few times. And point out, look, the debt can't be paid. Point one. Divide $20 trillion by $320 million, and you wind up with about $65,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child. It isn't going to be paid. A family of four needs $250,000 to pay their fair share of the national debt. It's not there. It can't be paid. It won't be paid. All right?
Great.
On the one hand, we can't pay the debt. On the other hand, we can't cancel the debt because this is a debt-based monetary system. If we cancel the debt, we have to cancel a correlative if we cancel $20 trillion in debt or $10 trillion or any number you want to put up. We're going to cancel the debt. Great. We're going to cancel debt. Sounds good. But you have to also void the equivalent amount of U.S. bonds, which is paper wealth that's sitting in people's bank accounts. It's sitting in safety deposit boxes, pension funds, bank vaults, and they've got these pieces of paper and say, look, I've got a genuine promise that's been signed by the government. I have a paper promise. I'm saying, no, you got nothing. You got nothing but a piece of paper with a signature on it and maybe some kind of a seal. But you have nothing but a glorified IOU. You have a promise to pay. We can't cancel the debt without also voiding the correlative U.S. Treasury bonds that memorialize that debt.
Yep.
All right? Knock out $10 trillion worth of debt? Fine. You got to knock out $10 trillion worth of paper wealth in this country. I don't think the economy of the United States and the economy of the world can stand that. We can't pay the debt. We can't cancel the debt. And as I've said a number of times on the program, what are we going to do with the debt? And one answer finally crossed my mind. The only thing, this can't be resolved. This is the rock and the hard place.
Mm-hmm.
There is no solution to this other than a kind of collapse where we zero everything out and we start from square one. And it won't be easy, fun, or painless. All right? But that's maybe the best we can hope for, is some sort of a calamity where the debt disappears and the paper wealth disappears and somebody says, what are we going to do? And say, let's use gold and silver. Maybe that's what's coming. Don't know. Can't give you prophecy. Don't have that gift. But there is a third alternative. You can't pay the debt. You can't cancel the debt. What are you going to do with the debt? Maybe you could get rid of the creditors. If the creditors died, we wouldn't have to pay the debt. I don't know. And I'm wondering, is there anyone in Washington that's thinking, if we could get rid of the creditors, the people we owe the debt to, what would happen then? I don't know exactly. I mean, what are we talking about? Again, a calamity for sure. And it's the least likely scenario. The most horrific, you know, theory that you can propose is also, by definition, the least likely to take place. But we are still facing...
I don't know. If you look at, you know, other than central banks, but, I mean, you kill these banks. I mean, they are the, you know, so, you know, you have banks. If they would have left the banks fail, we wouldn't be in the position that we are. It's the same thing that you're talking about. So,
maybe so.
You know, they might let enough banks fail, you know.
It's hard to say, but we are facing a dilemma that is so profound and so important and, you know, so fraught with peril that there's no easy way of getting out of this. This thing is going to break everybody's back before this is all over. And the only people get out of this, if you've got your wealth stored, you have savings, and you may be able to get through the crisis that I think is inevitably coming, although we can't tell you when. But if you have savings and it's denominated in a form that is not digital and is not in a form that's stored in a conventional bank account, then you've got a chance. And it's not like you're going to live happily ever after. It doesn't mean that life will be perfect, but life can go on. You got some savings when everybody else is broke, you can get some food.
And you know what, Al? Things happen. They do happen. We've been blessed. We had the Great Recession of 2008. We had a couple of little other, you know, stock market and crashes and so forth. Bad things happen. Look at Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
And they bankrupt. You know, they're begging for money.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the country now. They weren't anticipating a Cat 5, 4 hurricane. That wiped them basically off the
Nobody
face
ever
of the
does.
Math. Nobody ever does.
Yep.
Until it hits you in the face, and then it's too late. This is exactly the same thing. We've had it great here in the States. People think it's just going to continue. But it's not.
Well, we'll watch and see.
We didn't know hurricane.
Happen, but
we didn't
are
know
very vulnerable, and our vulnerability appears to be rising all the time.
A month ago, we didn't know Hurricane Maria was going to hit Puerto Rico. So,
where is it going from there?
East, up the East Coast. So hopefully it stays out in the ocean, similar to Hurricane Jose.
And you'll be able to do some surfing in the next few days.
So if I'm gone next week, folks, I'm surfing.
Uh-huh. Catching the wave, you know. Life gives you hurricanes. Make surfboards. I don't. Maybe that's, you know.
That's a good one, Al. But no. So hopefully it does stay off the coast, and of course we have cooler water. The waters are already in the high 70s, not like that warm water that around the Caribbean that was mid 80s and so forth. So the further north it goes, but even a Cat 1 or 2, if it hit the shores, if it came on land, you know, it can certainly do some damage and so forth. So fingers crossed, prayers, and we'll see where it's at. I guess we'll know better to the tune of Monday. We'll know exactly, you know, where it's going for sure. But my point was, you never know, folks, when it's going to hit. And if you look at all the signs, all the weather reports indicated a major hurricane, and we're reporting, you know, major financial situations coming very shortly. So anyway, give us a call at 800-375-4188. Alfred.
Yes.
You're next.
I'm next. Got an article here from Ms. Shedlock. And the headline is, existing home sales unexpectedly decline 1.7%, fourth drop in 5 months. The Econoday Day consensus expected a small increase in existing home sales in August. Instead, sales declined by a substantial 1.7%. The August decline followed a 1.3% decline in July. Market Watch reports existing home sales fell in August for the fourth time in 5 months. Real estate agents continue to blame a lack of available homes, or a lack of, is it really a lack of available homes, or is it a lack of available buyers? You know, I mean, who's living in a home that's not for sale right now? I walk in with a checkbook and I'm ready, I'd like to buy your home for $100,000. Okay, you won't sell. Okay, how about $500,000? Well, maybe so. How about $1 million? How about $5 million? If I've got enough money, you'll sell that house. Or in 95-99% of the homes are for sale if someone comes up with the right amount of money. Real estate agents continue to blame a lack of available homes, and I find that a little hard to believe. I think it's more like a lack of available buyers. Total housing inventory at the end of August declined 2.1%. It means that people are less willing to sell their homes. Why would people... It's the total housing industry inventory, excuse me, at the end of August declined 2.1%. It's now 6.5% lower than it was a year ago. Why are people unwilling to sell their homes? And I think it's because they can't count on making enough money to pay for the next one. I'll sell this one, but can I get as good a deal on the next one? Am I better off to stay where I am? There's something happening here. In 5 months, doesn't prove anything, but in 5 months, people are less willing to sell their homes. And it means either they want more money than they can get, and the price is therefore due to fall, perhaps, or it means that they don't trust their own ability to support themselves in the future years, and they figure I better stay where I am and I'm safe. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.